Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
I'll see you.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And who I am, I think, and I apologize for the open mic and all that choking. Anyway, it's been a hard day. We got an exciting show tonight, so we're going to be talking with, I think it's Mary DiPietro Lavin. I'm not sure. How do you pronounce your last name, Mary? Oh, hang on a second. I got to make your mics live. Just hang on. Okay, Mary, and I think we got Dow on here, too. Yeah, Mary, how do you pronounce your last name? Welcome to the show.
Mary Lavin?
Yeah, it's Lavin. Okay. I wasn't sure how you pronounce your last name. And
yes. And Tao Huang, is that who's on?
He's on the line.
Yes.
And huh. Susan Stanton, I guess, is probably just pulling into her driveway. And anyway, welcome to the program. Mark, the Badger Borch thing, senses apologies.
he'll be back in the fall, you know, if not sooner. A lot of stuff going on with his church and his garden, but we're going to be talking about healing in a lot of different ways. Hey, Susan, are you ready to hold forth?
Sure, I sure am. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you.
She's going to be talking about the Blackwater descendant tiger. I want to say tiger cubs, you know, because that's a tiger. That's a young tiger swan, which is, I don't know, just the second coming of the same old cavalry. You know, they just keep coming, don't they, Susan? They just keep coming.
They sure do. It's just amazing, huh?
The intimidation and, well, you know, I wasn't there. I wish I'd have been there the day the veterans showed up. I thought that might have been interesting, but it was. I imagine it was just. But go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Well, I think if we go back and think about when Jamie was on your show that night and talked a little bit about what happened when the veterans came, you know, I'll just be totally blunt. And I first want to start out by thanking you for reminding me that I'm in really good company, because this has been an interesting last couple of months. I've, you know, always thought of myself. I think I said once that my mother told me when I was a little girl, she said one day, you know, people aren't always going to like you. And I just found that absolutely impossible to believe because I loved everybody. Why wouldn't they love me too? And in these last couple of months with the attacks that have been happening,
yeah.
You know, it was amazing. But the best part about it was that as this was happening to me, I became aware of who else, you know, was listed. And the reality is they're all my best friends. So I guess that just says a lot about the circle that I'm in, and I'm grateful for that.
Well,
and,
you know, in a way, I'm kind of glad this happened because, I mean, he's been after me for 20 years. And, but, you know, I just found out recently, well, gee whiz, he went to Indonesia. Well, what do people do when they go to Indonesia? So,
yeah, exactly, but, right. Oh, isn't that horrible?
So, yeah, if true, horrible. You know, it's a much more serious threat than you might think. You know, before I got on the air, and I don't mean to interrupt, but that's a long story. And at some juncture very early in my internet days, it was made very clear to me by a couple of people that, you know, Indians sometimes drop out of trees on you, and you really got to watch your back. Because there's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of hate. And a lot of Indians that become what we hated. And but this guy, Dr. Alfred, was it? Alton Carroll, Dr. Alton. If we're going to call somebody out, you know, hey, and he's welcome to call in here anytime. You know, we've, gee whiz, you know, pot calling the kettle black, so all I can say. Anyway, go ahead, tell us more about Tiger Swan.
Well, that's kind of a familiar phrase, too, now in my life. That's taken on a new meaning for me, but well, the idea about Tiger Swan, actually, I'd never even heard of it before. I got a phone call. I haven't been, you know, really up to date on a lot of the things right now with the DAPL because of my husband's health. And just a quick little synopsis there. Brad has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from the drinking water at Camp Lejeune. He was a Marine back in the early 70s, stationed in places like, well, according to his DD-214, he was stationed only in Camp Lejeune. But there are a lot of places where he went, but the worst that happened to him was actually here at home in Camp Lejeune. So I want to begin with a little phrase, not a phrase, but a statement, because I asked him tonight. He's in a skilled nursing facility on oxygen and couldn't be on the show. But I asked him because it does involve he and I both. What, if anything, he would like me to say from him. And this was his statement, and I'm going to open with that. And this is, quote, from Brad Walking Bear Stanton, Narragansett, "We have the right to think of the future for our next generations, and the government already knows this." So with that in mind,
I think that we have a responsibility to hold them to that task. You know, if our warriors believe that way and they're willing to put their life on the line, then we need to be able to stand behind them with our government and everybody else and be what they believe us to be. And so with that said, in the last couple of months, we've been attacked, particularly me, and I'm now on the New Age Fraud and Plastic Shaman website. And it's interesting, Blue Water, because apparently the same date that I was put on there is the date of the new, or no, what is this called? Black Swan. It's all the same date. And then there was a post that came out on one of our town Facebook sites about the statement made by the Army Corps of Engineers that it cost them $1.3 million to clean up after the water protesters at Standing Rock. And I made the comment back that if you're a journalist, you really have a responsibility to do your fact-checking. And rather than just take an assumption like that, they should ask somebody who was there. And I could tell him firsthand if he really wanted to know the truth, because I was there and what I saw. So this has kept on, and we got another attack, you know, that was color and racially motivated. All of this stuff has been happening. And then 3 days ago, I got a phone call. First it was a text and then a phone call from a reporter at the Intercept. And I tried to figure out exactly what it is. It's like an online news service. They're a nonprofit, and they're phenomenal. And they are dedicated to bringing out to the public the things that are going on that should not be going on as far as what has to do with the different interventions and things. And this reporter called me, and she said that was I aware that they had been the recipient of 100 leaked documents. And I ask people to forgive me if I'm not exactly right on everything, so you can look on my Facebook page or on their site, The Intercept, and it's all more clearly there. But she said, am I aware that they have 100 leaked documents and showing all the names that this Tiger Swan has been turning in and information on people that they consider to be subversive and worse? And she said, you appear on there. And she said, and my question is, why do you think they're targeting you? Because they have a lot more information on you. You're more highlighted in a lot of ways than most, apparently. She said, why do you think you would be so targeted? And I said, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, they have pictures. They have pictures of your home, your sweat lodge, my little pink house, which is my little safe haven. You know, they have pictures that were taken from the sky. They have pictures that were obviously taken by somebody at the front of our house. And she said, I'm going to put that out there. You know, we're releasing this final document dated March through May, and your information is on there. Would you like me to remove your name? And I said, no. Why would you remove my name? And she said, well, aren't you afraid? And I said, no, I'm not afraid. And then I thought, am I supposed to be afraid? You know, maybe I don't know enough to be afraid. And so after we talked and I told her how I did feel, I started looking more into it. And I got scared. You know, I thought, this is really creepy. Who's doing all this stuff to us? And that's when I started really trying to understand. And some of the statements that are made by this man, and I'm not going to say his name because that's not a good thing to call in that type of energy, but if anybody wants to look at Intercept, and there's articles that tell you exactly who is behind Tiger Swan, what his legal situation is. And for somebody who is spiritually in tune, you'll recognize some feelings there that we've felt from other people as we, you know, have gone through this whole thing with the water protection and the other things that were fertilizer plants and, you know, things like that. It's all coming to the surface now, and soon they will not be able to hide and cover up anymore. It's all being brought out. And so this article about us, I didn't hide my name because I want people to know that, you know what, we're nobody. Me and Brad, we're no one. We don't have anything that stands us out from anybody else on earth, I don't think. We don't have money. We don't have, you know, power. We don't have anything. We're just regular people. I'm a Mormon. My husband's a Mormon. You know, we don't drink or smoke, you know. I think he has had some cigarettes. I don't know. He doesn't really admit it, but not lately. But, I mean, you know, basically we're just average people, you know, and yet we're being targeted. Our very privacy is being compromised. We're being classified with jihadists. I mean, it's just, it's so crazy. My husband, in all of the cancer, the chemotherapy, the pain and suffering he's undergone in this last year and a half, he's never complained about it, never complained about being a Marine, never found fault with our country or the military. He even, I have to take a deep breath here, he even likes Donald Trump, for heaven's sakes. You know, and here we're being, I know, you know, I know how you feel. Here we are being targeted.
Yay.
Like we're,
Trump trade.
Like we're, yeah, we're terrorists. You know, it's like, I was a Girl Scout. Why are they doing this to me? You know, it's so weird. So at the very end of this latest article, before they're getting ready to publish the one that has our name on it and our house. And so if you guys see that, just, you know, everybody's invited over anytime they want. And I did tell the...
Hey, just run reruns of Thunderheart. It's the same story.
Yeah.
Same story.
That's
you got something. Well, you know, you have something they want.
What?
And that's...
I don't get
you're standing in their way of swaying public opinion.
Well, that's terrible.
And you know what? If they got close enough, to take those pictures, I really think you ought to get it. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get a hold of Charles Yao Jr. and see if we can. He's got standing in federal court. Let's sue their ass off. You sue them because for trespass, whatever, intimidation. That, you know, they had to be so close to the house to, you know.
Well, I know. And they didn't even cut the grass. They should have mowed the lawn while they were there. They were standing on my yard.
I doubt you guys have even got a gun in there. You know, it's probably a .22.
No, we're not allowed to. Brad has PTSD.
Oh, man.
wartime PTSD guys are not allowed to have guns. But I did get a really nice message from a wonderful forensic attorney who offered to talk to me, and I know the Food and Water Network. They've got charges against Tiger Swan that are now with the Attorney General and for Illinois, and I'm going to call them and talk to them and see what does this all mean. But bottom line, okay, here's my bottom line, because I don't want to take Mary's time. Bottom line, the last paragraph in the article that I put on my Facebook page says that, and I'm talking about me and the others that are on this list of Standing Rock people, because it says that after we left there, that the world can count on us being, and here it is, quote, ideologically driven insurgency with a strong religious component. That's who we are. We are an ideologically driven insurgency with a strong religious component, and I say amen to that. We are. We are absolutely that. We believe in God. We believe in our country. We believe in our family. We believe in the Constitution. We believe that everybody has the right to freedom of speech in this country and the right to privacy. And we have the right to be able to stand up for what we believe in. Like Brad said, we have the right to think of the future for our next generations. And the government already knows this. That's what we're founded on. And I am Six Nations. I am Iroquois. The Constitution was founded on the great law of peace given to the people and then given on to Benjamin Franklin. We have every right to do what we're doing. And so I say hallelujah. That's who we are. And I just want to thank you, Blue Otter, for letting me get on here tonight and encourage everybody to stand up. It's time. We've got to stand up. We got to stand up for the water, the environment, the animals, for each other, for peace. We have to stand up for the truth. Aho mitakuyasi. Aho.
You bet. And as far as being surgeon, think about whether you're horribly opposing a lawful authority. Well, you got a right to ask, are they lawful? And if they're not lawful, it's your duty as a citizen. So, hey, bring it on.
Right.
You know. Okay. Well, thanks, Susan. Hang around. We'll talk with Mary. Appreciate you coming on the program. And
thank you.
So, tell us. I wish Mark was here. He'd do my birth glyph reading. For matter of fact, I'm sure he'd. If you're interested in one, I'll give him his phone number. But that's what we usually do. But well, Mary, tell us about yourself and how you came to talk with me.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but I'm having a little bit of breaking up, so I hope you can hear me well.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me breaking up?
Mary, what I'm going to do is, Mary, I'm going to hang up and call you back, okay? I'm going to
hang
up and call you back. Say yes if you understand. Okay.
Yep.
And all we're reading was a little ayahuasca. Well, my apologies. We're having problems reaching our guest, but I think Dal, you're on the line, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm. Yes.
Yeah,
I am.
And we're having problems reaching Mary. What's your area code?
What did you say?
Yeah. Oh, what's your area? What is your area code?
216.
216 or 507? Okay. Can we have the other person here? I don't know who they are. I think they're just listening. Okay. 507 area code. Do you just want to listen or do you want to talk? Okay. I'm going to 507. Okay. Dal, what did you hear from Susan?
I was lost for a while because I was on a roll. And the connection was poor, so it was lost for a while.
Yeah, And we'll try to get her back. If we can't, well, we'll keep giving it a try. Yeah, she was breaking up real bad. Then I've tried calling back a time or two and don't seem to be making any connection with her. But, we'll try a little bit more music here. While we're a little more ayahuasca. This one always lags, takes a minute to start. Okay, so area code 507. Area code 507.
This is Mary.
Speak, please.
This is Mary.
Okay, we got you. Okay, and I guess
yeah.
We've got. Okay, and believe it or not, okay, you can hear me, right?
I can
yep.
hear you, but you are breaking up still. But I hear you.
Okay. Well, go ahead and tell us about yourself and hold forth for a while. We'll try not to interrupt.
All right. Well, actually, I don't even know what to say about myself, but I've had a
Susan Stanton.
I do know Susan, and but that's not the totality of my my life. But I started a long time ago with a lot of very interesting experiences that just kind of happened to me rather than me choosing to seek out any Native American ism. I had an experience with when I was in my early 30s with a medicine man by the name of George White Wolf. And then with George, I was taught a lot of interesting things. I mean, he had he was from Pine Ridge originally, and he had I had been sent to him because I was having I had just lost my son, and I had been going through a very difficult time, and I was at a women's retreat in West Virginia, and a woman told me I should go and see her medicine man. And it took me a while to get there, but when I did finally get there, he saved my life. He saved my life because of the despair that I had been in, but he lifted it in one visit. So I was very intrigued about what this experience was all about. And shortly after that, I started to do just a few sweats with him, and he taught me about the sweats. He taught me about prayer ties. He taught me about tobacco and the sacred items. And I went to him when I needed to go to him. I wasn't with him a lot or bothered him a lot. But when I needed him, he was always there for me. And the first sweat that I went into with him, I told him what my experience was, and he told me that I had had an eagle sweat, which I didn't even know what that was until many years later. So after that, when I first met my husband, I had my husband go to him because I wanted to be sure that we were meant for each other and that this wasn't a mistake. And my husband sweat with him and verified that. Well, many years forward, I I had a good friend who many of us know of, and I learned a lot from this Mandan man, and I learned that I had been invited to two of his ghost dances, and at the first ghost dance, I had a very spiritual, significant, emotional
experience. And so I almost couldn't wait to go to the second one. And when I went to the second one, I realized that these ceremonies are really so profoundly perfect that they, that more people should have access to them. And it was unfortunate that more people didn't have access to them. Are you still there with me, or have I lost you? Will? Hello?
Hang on.
You're on?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
When you ask me a question, you got to give me about a 5 second. Yeah.
Okay,
that's fine. Yeah,
just as long as I know I didn't lose you.
But okay. I know. I hear you.
All right. Thank you. So, then after my second ghost dance, I started having tremendously profound dreams. And the dreams were with regard to my last previous life as a young Mandan man. And when I would have these dreams, like immediately after the first ghost dance, after the second ghost dance, I came home and I saw a Native American chief sitting on a horse, on a pinto horse, and his headdress was so long that it went past the horse and flowed onto the ground. And I was taken aback by the vision of him. And when I asked who he was, I was so terribly exhausted. I said, please, let's not talk tonight. I said, can we talk another time? Because I have relationships with spirits like that. So that night I dreamt about him, and he came to tell me that he was my spirit brother and that he was looking for me to bring me back to my father. Well, I didn't know what that meant because I thought perhaps I'm going to die because he wants to bring me back to my father. So when I mentioned this to my friend, he told me that I should research who Rushing War Eagle was. And when I found out who he was the only surviving son of Four Bears, the Mandan chief. So the connection that I had was that I was, I had had dreams every night. I couldn't wait to go to bed because I was having dream after dream after dream after dream. And these dreams were like movies, and they were all with regard to my life, my last previous life. And the dreams that I were having were unfolding the story of my life, how it was then, the fact that I died from smallpox, what I had done for the tribe, how my father had taught me things, what he had taught me, what he had given me. Every night, it was another dream. It was as getting as though I couldn't wait to go to bed just to unfold another aspect of that lifetime. And I had this sincerely deep connection to that time and the Native people at that time. And a series of events occurred that and dreams where my friend and I kind of split ways. And in that time frame, I was planning a third ghost dance for him. And this, there was a rift in our relationship so that I didn't go to that dance. And I was brokenhearted because I had worked hard to make it perfect as I could make it, but understanding what it needed and how I was pulling the ceremony together and where it should be held and all the invitations and things like that were needing to occur. And when we rifted, I was sitting in my room. I have a prayer room in my home, and I was sitting in that room. That man had gifted me a buffalo skull, and I was sitting with that buffalo skull, and I was looking at it, and I was talking as if he was in the room with me, the buffalo, and I was saying that I really didn't understand how this all kind of transpired, and it was really heartbreaking. And I heard that buffalo say, "Go to the buffalo." And not far from where I live, there is a park with buffalo in it, in this park. And this park is a very sweet little off-the-beaten-track kind of place. And I went to the buffalo, and I brought my blanket and I brought my tobacco. And it was one of those beautifully crisp autumn days. And I sat on the blanket, and normally when I go to this park, the buffalo are all on the other side of the pen. They're as far away from the people as they can be. Normally they're either up in the shade or they're at their the feeding area where you can't have access to them. And this particular day, I was sitting on my blanket, and I was crying, and I was really heart-wrenched. So I was talking, like I was looking at them, and I was telepathically kind of saying, "I wish you would come closer." So they did. And when they came closer, I was spraying tobacco in their pen just so that they could smell it. And it was interesting because they would open their mouth and stick out their tongue, and they curled it up as if they were tasting the tobacco that I was throwing them. I was pretty amazed at that, at how beautiful that connection was. And this particular little park has a double fence, because I think if any of you ever have been around buffalo, I know that they could be very strong. And so they have a double fence in this place. But they got through the first fence, and they were walking between the two fences, two of them. It was like they were trying to get as close to me as I was trying to get as close to them. And when they were doing that, all of them came over, and then the one bull came to be by me. And
wow.
He looked at me straight in the eye, like eyeball to eyeball. And I said to him, "I'm so distraught, I don't know what to do with myself." That's what happened, truly. And he said, I heard him say, "You could go to that ghost dance if you want to, or you could have your own." And I said, if you haven't noticed, I said, "I'm a white girl. How could I have my own ghost dance? I wouldn't even know where to have it." And then he turned and walked away from me. So I packed up my things and I walked back to my car. And when I walked back to my car, I turned the car on and I opened up the sunroof to the car. And I was calling a friend of mine to tell her what my experience was or what they told me. And so I was sharing that with her. And then I looked up and I said, "Oh my God, there's four eagles flying over my head. Like, they're so close that I could touch them, really. It was that close. I mean, it wasn't like they were, you know, miles up in the sky. They were right over the car." And she goes, "Oh, honey, that's your sign." And I said, "For what?" And she said, "You should have your own ghost dance." And I said, "Well, how would I even have my own ghost dance? I wouldn't even know where to have one." And I recognized that that was the second time I asked the question. So we chatted a little bit more. I left the park.
Well, what year did this take place?
This was 2 years ago. So this is 2017-15. So 2015.
And you didn't have an internet. You know, you could have gone to the internet, and we should have a movie on there exactly how it's done. It was 1975. Billy Jack.
I know. I've seen Billy Jack years and years and years
ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So now you do.
Yeah. Now I know plenty, but I know plenty.
Grandson. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Andy Vidovich. Yeah. And I've got a personal 30-year connection going back. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, that, you know, it didn't occur to me to Google, you know, ghost dance. But I had gone to my previous ghost dances, so I had some idea of them, but not about where to have a ghost dance, right? So about 5 days later, I don't know if Leon is on the phone. But about 5 days afterward, I get a call from Leon Carney. And he said to me, hey, he goes, I want to invite some people to that ghost dance, the one that I was organizing for my friend. And I said, well, if you want to do that, then you're going to have to call him directly because I'm no longer doing that for him. And he said, why is that? And I said, and I told him why. And then he said to me, well, he said, did you ever think about having your own ghost dance? And I said, oh, that's pretty interesting. I said, do you remember I'm a white girl? And he goes, yeah, so what? And I said, well, and I just said, well, I'm not sure about that. And he said, well, if you want to, you could have it here. Now, I only had met Leon at that time one time in my life. And I thought, I'm not going to tell him what had happened to me with the buffalo because I don't know him. So I didn't want to share that. So I said to him, well, that's very nice. And I said, but I would have to consider that and think about it, he said. Well, he goes, okay. So we hung up, and he called me up the next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he said to me, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I had invited some people to your ghost dance. And I said, my ghost dance? And he said, yeah. And I said, I'm not having a ghost dance. And he said, well, you said you'd think about it. And I said, well, that was last night. And he said, well, how much time do you need? And I sat back in my chair and I said, all right, I give up in my head. I said, okay, we'll have a ghost dance. And that's how it came about. And he has 350 acres of pristine prairie. And it's really sacred land because nothing goes on there. Nothing happens there but spiritual things. He's had sun dances and other events there. And when I walked on that land, I knew exactly what needed to happen. So the first dance we did, and about 100 people came. And then the second dance, I had an immense amount of spiritual growth, I have to say, from that one that I put on. And then the second one, because of the Al Carroll site that I also am on, the New Age Fraud and Plastic Shaman Forum, I'm being reviewed. I guess they're researching me to see where my stand is with that. But
you
Al
need to
Carroll's,
ignore that. I mean, you know, they're,
well,
they're,
I have to say,
I know how you feel.
It was, it shook me up. It shook me up. Only because nobody knew me. They don't know. I'm not a public person. I had phone calls. I had emails. I had text messages. They even called Leon's wife and said, you're a bitch and a whore, and you should divorce that man. I mean, this is a woman who's nearly 80 years old, you know? So I understood that they were tactless, but I also understand their pain. And my intention was never to hurt anybody, and my intention is never to step on anybody's toes, but I also know that I could never steal anybody's spirituality nor their ceremonies because they don't, first of all, they belong to everybody, and I know I'm probably going to get much more flack from anybody who listens to this show. But my mother-in-law is from Rosebud.
I'm
going to
throw you a curve.
What? I'm here. I'm listening.
Let them have their ceremony. It's not the ghost dance. Can you hear? Are you okay? Let them have it.
I hear you.
Because it's not the original ghost dance. It's something else. It's what it was perverted to.
Oh, I understand
that. And you stand on firm historical ground, and yeah. Well, going forward, you know, do an original ghost dance.
Yes, that's actually what I did.
You know, Wovoka's grandson showed the world how to do it. It's got to be a spiral dance, and there's other instructions. You know, and if you really want to do one, you got to do it for 4 days. But you know, practice dance. You know, it's like us Cherokees. You know, we have a sacred fire, the central fire, and then we have practice fires, and but we have certain sites that are designated as, you know, or ways of doing things. But if you really, I mean, the whole reason for what became known as the ghost dance was to get white people and red people together, and it became something completely different because the emissaries changed the message that were given by Wovoka. So let them have their I'll come right out and say it. It's witchcraft. If they are praying for the death of white people, then that's witchcraft. And I can tell you with Cherokee spiritual authority, we've got a really low tolerance. It's like anybody thinks bad. But this is heinous stuff that they're doing. And, you know, but anyway, I'll get down off my, you don't want me to go there any further.
Well, what happened was that we actually did, we went before the ghost dance to an Ojibwe ceremony of the Dance of the Ten Moons. And that is going back before the friendship dance and before that, when people were honoring the sacred ground, the sacred woman, and going back to the time when life was in a state of honoring, because it was just a natural effect that they had, a natural state that we had. And it was about bringing the people together, and it was about healing everybody. And that's what I mean, anybody with any consciousness or any kind of love in their heart at all, I can understand why they wouldn't want to share. And for me, I invited people to come to it. The people who called me, I invited them to come along and be a part of this, because how do we resolve issues like that? How can we make this world a better place when we segregate or say that we appropriate? Where the United States has been built on joining things together, has been built on the melting pot of bringing things together. We've had a lot of problems here, and who, you know, what culture at one time or another hasn't been what's the word I'm trying to think of?
I hear what you're saying.
Every culture has had a problem.
Jump right in front of you and get in their face and tell them that. Well, yeah, a lot of native religion it came from the Celts. It's had to be, and now we know that, you know, there's been a lot. Call it what it is. It's blatant racism, naked racism on their part, that they think that somebody like me, who is 3 degrees of separation from Wovoka, and was received the word, and I pushed the information forward, including the songs, including the exact way the dance is done. All, you know, all you have to do is call it what it was, the original ghost dance, the dance of welcome and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say anything.
Dance.
And that, yes, that let
exactly.
them have their little dance. What are the, you know, the thing you got to understand about Indian country, it took me a while because, you know, I was raised white, and but made a hard turn, you know, about 30 years ago, and on this path. But there's the difference between the way some Lakota people think and the way a Cherokees think is like the difference between a strictly canonized, catechismized religion like Roman Catholicism, and with Cherokees, with varying degrees of, but pretty close to being Unitarian Universalists, and but it's about attitude, and it's about some of those people think, and I don't know where Al Carroll. I mean, talk about pot calling Carroll. You know, he claims Apache, but won't prove it. You know, he wants Leonard. He wants the keeper of the Arvo Looking Horse produce the pipe. He wants this. He wants that. And if you engage, the problem is if you engage him, he gets in your head, because there's got to be some evil going on here. He gets in your head, and I understand exactly what you're going. It's gut wrenching, you know. But you know what? I when I started this show 13 years ago, we were talking about the same situation with the same guy, and Chokosh Ohoo, who's a well known. She's a Chumash elder, and but she's state recognized, not federal or some dang thing. And anyway, apparently somebody made a comment about it, really pissed her off, and she really got tired of it. She went and talked with John Trudeau, and he said, she said Trudeau was very flip with me. You know, she said he was always so attentive and loving. This time, he was very flip with me and said, "Hey, if you can't stand the heat, get out the teep. Get out the sweat lodge."
Mm-hmm.
So it's just there. It's about jealousy and who knows what on. Mostly poor self-esteem. Awful, awful, awful self-esteem some of these people
have. Well, I was interviewed.
So anyway, so you came to the right place. I'll give you
well,
a shoulder to cry on. But I recommend you just forget those people. And,
I know. It's
attracting attention. It's like no news is bad news. And there's people out there looking too. And, you know, we're all moving forward. But I applaud your efforts. I really do. Wish I could get out and help better. But I just don't have the funds to. And it's hard for me to travel now because I've got some health concerns. And nothing major. I'm not going to croak anytime soon. Hope not. Cross my heart.
Well,
and,
see, you need
anyway,
a ghost dance.
But I've been prattling on too long. Go ahead, Mary. What do you think?
Well, I was just going to say that's why, and that's what I was saying in the very beginning about
delay here.
Can you hear me? Do you hear me?
Okay. Well, I guess we lost her. It is at the top of the next hour, and so anyway.
Can you hear me?
We appreciate Mary coming on. Sorry about the technical. Issues we were having them all during the interview, and but she said her piece. It was a great interview, but so we'll let everybody go, and appreciate everybody listening, and we will see everybody next week. Bye bye now. Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of